My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. We've recently begun the transition from summer to fall, with the days growing shorter and nights longer after the equinox. Each season brings with it changes and adjustments. Just as the year has its seasons, our lives have their seasons. How can we best navigate the seasons of life and maintain balance, optimal health, spiritual growth, happiness, and peace? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Andrew Pahalik, has been addressing this question during his lengthy healing and spiritual practice. Andrew Pahalik is a licensed acupuncturist and certified herbalist in the state of New York, with a full-time practice in New York City. Andrew specializes in rejuvenating therapies based on the ancient Chinese medical approach to endocrinology, gynecology, and pain management. His knowledge, expertise, and clinical training have offered him the ability to experience and continually learn about the body and its energy systems in health as well as in disease. Andrew is also an educator. He has taught and certified more than 100,000 students worldwide in these specific healing techniques. PeacefulMind.com is Andrew's life work. PeacefulMind.com focuses on a place for you to come and relax and become a centered and more powerful human being. Andrew's articles on spirituality, health, and wellness have been published all over the world in 30 languages. He's an ongoing contributor to such publications as Aromatherapy Times, Health Magazine, and of course our own Om Times Magazine. Andrew is the author of the Transformational Health and Wellness Course, the Crystal Astrologer Course, and Chakracology Course. His other healing studies include the Color Elite Color Therapy Course, the Complete Meditation, and his most popular, the Crystal Light Crystal Therapy Course. He joins me this evening to discuss his most recent book, Lead Us to a Place, Your Spiritual Journey Through Life's Seasons. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Andrew Pahalik. Good evening, Andrew.
Good evening, Victor. How are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you, and thank you so much for joining us, especially as we're transitioning in season right now.
Yes, it's my pleasure.
Andrew, when we welcome a guest to Destination Unlimited for the first time, we ask them to share their path with our listeners, so please tell us a little about your journey.
Yes, well, my first career was as a professional dancer for 20 years. I was fortunate enough to travel the world, and either with my dance career or by means of my own, I was able to see some of the most amazing and sacred places on earth. And in each location, I learned more about the culture and the local traditions and even more about myself.
And
so as a dancer...
I was just going to say, as a dancer, that must have been a wonderful experience to see the dance in these various places you visited.
It really was incredible. I was really able to express myself through movement and song and acting, and I was able to use my body as an instrument to show other people who I was and how I would relate to the world through self-expression.
That's absolutely wonderful. Now, what brought you to your spiritual path?
It's interesting. I was at the end of my dance career. I didn't quite know where to go at that point. I unfortunately had an accident where I sustained second and third degree burns over my left arm and both of my legs, which was debilitating physically for about 7 months of my life, but emotionally for about 7 years later. After that, so lost after my dance career, I had no direction. And I sought out the healing path of acupuncture to help me to cope with this.
And how did acupuncture play a part in this?
Acupuncture not only healed me physically, but it was able to get me onto a more mental and stronger path.
And what about your attraction to herbal medicine? How did that happen?
Herbs have been in my family since I was very young. We grew up on a farm, and my mom was always giving us herbal remedies. So my dad would grow a lot of herbs in the garden, and that's how we chose to usually get better with the herbs.
And what herbs in particular were you using during this period of time?
Well, when we were younger, we'd use basic herbs like peppermint and chamomile and lavender, and my mom grew lots of flowers that she would actually make into decoctions that we would take as children, and cough syrup medications, all from herbs and flowers. So that was my background or base.
And during your healing from the burns, what herbal medications were you using?
Well, I was introduced to Chinese herbal medicine. So the acupuncturist was also an herbalist who actually gave me salves made from herbs, and I took formulas internally to help the skin heal as well.
Now, how would you describe the ancient Chinese medical approach to these topics?
Well, the Chinese have been doing this for over 3,000 years, and what they have learned over all this trial and error is really how to treat the body on the three systems of healing, which is mentally, physically, and spiritually.
And talk about each of those a little bit, please.
So with the application of acupuncture, it has really helped the body to help itself, to help the body heal itself. The application of herbs taken internally helps from the inside out. And the spiritual component is something I think that comes along through that journey that you experience through that healing, those healing sessions.
Absolutely. Now, in your bio, it talks about three specific fields: endocrinology, gynecology, and pain management. How does Chinese medicine just address these briefly?
Yes. So when I decided to go into acupuncture, I fell in really into the field of infertility, and which is now my specialty. So I work a lot with the endocrine system and the gynecological system for treating infertility.
And endocrinology, obviously, is the glandular system.
Yes, glandular and hormonal system.
And how does the Chinese approach address that?
We approach it two ways, both with the treatment of the acupuncture and the acupuncture protocol and needles for fertility, as well as herbs. If the patient is not on medication or infertility medication, then we use herbs internally.
And what about pain management?
Pain management, acupuncture is probably the most famous for. So a lot of times we apply acupuncture with e-stim, or we connect the needles to an electrical current to stimulate the needles and speed up healing.
Now, just about everyone has seen or knows the word acupuncture, the name acupuncture, and may have seen acupuncture being performed. Just describe a little bit as to how it works.
Yes. Well, pretty much there's a few theories. They believe that one theory is that it works through the central nervous system, through the brain and spinal cord. Another theory believes that it works on a subatomic level, basically, so that it's working on a level that we don't see or is unforeseen. And the third is that it works through the central nervous system.
And when we see acupuncture charts, we see these lines going through the body, which are, I believe, called meridians. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And at certain points along these meridians, you would insert the acupuncture needles to stimulate the effect.
Yes, and there's protocols for different situations or specific illnesses where needles are placed in particular areas or patterns based on the patient's signs and symptoms.
And I actually had acupuncture many years ago, and at the same time, the practitioner had placed a small pot on my stomach over my solar plexus and was burning a type of incense in there. What's that about?
That's called moxa. And basically, it's to help to warm the system internally, probably due to some form of cold or internal cold that you were experiencing.
So we have the needles in the meridians balancing the energy and increasing the flow of energy in places where there seems to be deficiencies, the heating of the solar plexus to help with any type of cold or something of that nature. And what else is used in this field?
In this field, we also use something that's called cupping. It's actually become quite popular recently, where a lot of swimmers have been getting cupping done. You see them walking around with the big circles on their back, and this is used to increase circulation. It's used for muscular pain. It's very good treatment. That's one. Tui Na is the other, which is really a deep massage or manipulation of the muscle and the bone.
My guest this week on Destination Unlimited is Andrew Pahalik. He's the author of the relatively new book, Lead Us to a Place, Your Spiritual Journey Through Life Seasons. And we'll be back with more of Andrew after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
What does Meals on Wheels do? They deliver meals and smiles to homebound seniors. But Meals on Wheels does something else. They turn a volunteer's lunch break into a meaningful experience.
As small and as simple as a relationship is between a volunteer and a client of Meals on Wheels, it's really so impactful. I never thought that 5 minutes could make so much difference in the lives of two people, but it has.
Drop off a warm meal and get more than you expect. Volunteer at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. That's AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. Brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008.
I do not love him.
Hamilton the Pug's adoption story started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Andrew Pahalik. We're talking about Lead Us to a Place, Your Spiritual Journey Through Life's Seasons. So, Andrew, prior to the break, you were talking about the practice of acupuncture. And I also recall when I received my acupuncture treatment, prior to receiving the treatment, my pulses were checked in my wrists, in my ankles, etc. What is the purpose of checking pulses in acupuncture?
Yes. Yeah, so in the wrists and in the feet, there's pulse points, and they each represent different organs on the left and the right hand side of the body. So when we're checking pulses, we're usually checking for an excess or deficiency in the beat or rhythm or depth of the pulse. It's just another diagnostic tool that we use to help define a pattern.
And just as an example, if you saw that on the left side in the hand, the pulse was slower or more erratic than it should have been, what would you be looking for?
Well, we would be looking for the depth and the rhythm, and also where it is located in the left or right hand. On each side, there's three levels that each represent organs. So we check to see if they're feeling more balanced or if one is less or greater than another.
And based upon that diagnostic technique, then you would employ the needles, and you would also recommend herbal compounds that might be used for the various parts of the body.
Yes, that would be the procedure. We also tend to look at the tongue, the body of the tongue. The tongue tells us a lot of what's going on internally. So based on the coat of the tongue, the color of the tongue, the root of the phlegm, if there's phlegm or no phlegm, if it's red or too pale. These all are little indicators that help us to subscribe herbs or give certain points in the treatment.
So literally, the tongue speaks to health.
Yes, it does.
Now, as is the case with mastery, the student became the teacher, and I must say, what an awesome teacher you've become with more than 100,000 certified students. What was that experience like?
Well, it was pretty unbelievable. It's been a long journey to reach that path, but helping people to learn has really become my passion. So structuring courses to help people to understand and practice has been really my passion.
And when did you begin teaching?
Probably about 15 years ago.
Wonderful. What was that experience? Getting back to the concept of teaching, what is it like when someone comes to you and says, I would like to learn from you these modalities?
Yes. So sometimes people want to have private tutoring and private teaching. So I will incorporate that into my practice. They will come during the practice hours, and we have an hour of time together, and we work on particular modality of healing they wish to work on. Or sometimes we will do groups of students that want to learn together.
And for our listeners who may be interested in pursuing one of these modalities, how can they get in touch with you?
They can always get in touch with me through peacefulmind.com. The website introduces all of the courses that we share, and people are able to sign up right there on the website and choose the course they wish to follow.
Do you find that often students who come to you, even if they have not had experience in the fields that you teach, somehow in their soul level have been healers all along?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we are really all healers inside. We just have to tap into that vein or that energy or that train of thought.
You've described your website, peacefulmind.com, as your life's work. What may we find at peacefulmind.com in addition to your teaching offerings?
There's thousands of articles that I've written over 20-some years now that I have actually put on paper or put on the website for people to go and read more about experiences in alternative and complementary healing. They can also find information on illnesses and disorders and how we treat them.
And what else do you offer there?
We offer about 800 products as well. We have everything from crystals to essential oils and massage products, color therapy, and all types of alternative modality products that are very unique to my site.
And what about herbal compounds?
I have my own line of herbal tinctures made out of Western herbs that we have created for specific disorders.
Wonderful.
As well as teas and herbal teas. Compounds.
Wonderful. Now, how important is a regular practice of meditation and mindfulness to becoming a professional in this work?
I think it's important because it really helps to ground you. It really helps to center you, especially at the beginning of the day when you can set your intention and start your path for the day. And at the end of the day, after you've come home and it's been a frazzled day, you've done a million things, it's time for you to just sit and reconnect with yourself.
What about the concept, having had a background myself in a alternative healing modality? I remember early on my fear of doing things incorrectly and having a teacher tell me, just relax and get out of your own way. What do you say to students who have that fear?
I tell them this is why we call it a practice.
Ah. And what else do you say to reassure them?
This is how we actually learn to be who we are and what we practice. We have to, if we're starting from zero, we have to learn. We have to take chances. We have to make mistakes. This is the whole process of becoming a better teacher and a better student.
And we're going to talk a little bit about using intuition, developing intuition, a little bit later when we discuss the book. But how important is it for people to start listening to their inner voice or their intuitive self while doing this type of work?
I think it's a very important key to this work because a lot of times we don't trust our intuition, especially as adults. You'll see that children are very intuitive and they always tend to just go with their first impulse because they trust that impulse. As adults, we tend to second guess it.
And
so
during the
learning teaching, to work with that.
And during the teaching of the practice, how do you get people to get into that side of the mind that is more receptive and open to the subtle energy?
Well, I tell them that they have to leave everything outside at the door when they come in, and they have to kind of start to focus on themselves, to be more in tune with what they're feeling, how they're feeling it, and kind of map out the intention that they want to do in that particular session or in their journey.
One of the things in my own healing practice was, before you enter into someone else's field, their energy field, you absolutely have to be totally clear and let go of anything that you may have experienced earlier that day or that week or whatever's going on in your life that is not absolutely positive. Is that something you encourage your students to do?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's great advice. Because we bring so much in with us whenever we walk into a room or we walk into a place or we come home. Everything we've gathered in our mind and in our physical aura, our body, tends to stay with us. So releasing that is a great practice, and you can do that through meditation.
And do you offer a ritual for this preparation to release and let go, to be prepared to be the perfect healer for that person?
Yes, and I think it depends, too, on the person that we're dealing with or the group of that we study with. Some people are not necessarily ready to be verbal or have an action that they particularly get involved with. Some people will just come in and I'll just have them be still and be quiet with themselves for a couple minutes just to connect. Others really want to grab a crystal or have some incense or sage where they want to cleanse their bodies or the room. So it really depends on where you are and what you're ready for your practice.
And ultimately, intention is very, very important.
Yes. It's the seed that we plant, isn't it? Intention is the path that we put before us.
Absolutely. Everything is energy, and intention is what guides it and directs it. My guest this evening and this week on Destination Unlimited, Andrew Pahalik. He's the author of the book, Lead Us to a Place, Your Spiritual Journey Through Life's Seasons. Andrew, please tell our listeners where they can find out more about your work, your courses, your offerings, and everything that you do.
Sure, absolutely. They can go to peacefulmind.com, where they can find the book. They can find 100 modalities and over 800 products to help them on their journey.
And also, we strongly recommend that we use our local bookstores, which are a vanishing breed, and I'm sure they can find your book in most good local bookstores, and if they can't, they can ask for it and have the bookstore order it for them.
Absolutely.
And we'll be back with more of Andrew Pahalik and Lead Us to a Place, Your Spiritual Journey Through Life Seasons, after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie. This is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve! It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this evening, Andrew Pahalik, the author of Lead Us to a Place, Your Spiritual Journey Through Life's Seasons. Andrew, what inspired you to write Lead Us to a Place?
Well, I'll tell you, I probably had an idea to write a book 10 years ago and just had so much information, I just didn't really know how to categorize it, how to bring it all together. Then one day I was actually looking through an old textbook and realized that the seasons were at the basis of so much of my healing and my healing experiences, that I thought that would make a great foundation for the book.
And what are the seasons and stages of our lives?
Well, so basically the seasons are looked at in four categories, and the new beginning of spring is usually represents our coming of age in our teens and 20s, when we start to kind of unearth that raw energy of who we are through our own personal beauty and intuition and sexual self-esteem, that our creative forces start to kind of awaken. I classify the summer as our 30s and 40s because that's as we develop our own persona by discovering more about love and luck and confidence as we gain more success and we understand more of what our own happiness really is. The fall of our lives tends to be in the 50s and 60s when our lives, they help us to realize how forgiveness and knowledge and prosperous journeys give us and enriching experiences. So we're often more conscious by this point in our lives and tend to acknowledge our gratitude and find a bit more humility and enjoy our prosperity. So in the winter, it's more like the 70s and upward in our lives, we tend to look within. We find more of introspective time that gives us the golden opportunity for self-power, self-healing, and self-balance.
What's fascinating to me is that even when I was a child, up to today, the fall is my favorite season. Why would you think that would be so?
That's interesting. I think you're probably drawn to the balance of light, which is actually just the opposite of spring. Probably the temperature or the colors were you probably always attracted to. I always say forgiveness and knowledge and prosperous journeys tend to be that of the fall personality. I don't know if that's true for you.
I believe so. I think you sort of touched upon that very nicely. And just something about the changing of the foliage, the leaves and the colors, the golds and reds and browns of the autumn season are just so appealing to me.
You're drawn to those earth tones.
Absolutely. Now, how may we attune our bodies to both nature's seasons and life's seasons?
Well, I tend to look at nature as kind of a key or a clue in the process, because the Chinese look at the seasons as something that we endure on the outside, but actually what we experience in our bodies on the inside. So nature holds a key to even diagnosis process in Chinese medicine. As with fall, there is dampness. As with winter, there is cold. And summer, there is heat. These are all things that our body experiences internally as well. So trying to align these with the seasons helps keep our body in check or more in balance as we go.
And what elements in nature are applied to each of these seasons?
Well, in Chinese medicine, there's five elements. There's a five-element theory where wood is one of the elements. In my book, I kept it to the Greek elements of air, earth, fire, and water. So a lot of times nature again shows us how when these elements are in balance, then our bodies tend to be in balance. When they're out of control, it mirrors what can happen inside our body as well.
And are there specific herbs that are applicable to each of the seasons?
Yes, there are actually. And each season has herbs and essential oils that can really benefit the body based on the season. In For instance, in the summer, we tend to want to use cooling herbs, cooling foods to help keep the body at an internal temperature that's comfortable and cool, and just the opposite in the winter.
And what are some of the herbs, for example, that are associated with our current season?
So in the fall, we tend to go toward herbs that are more warming, like cinnamon and cardamom. These particular herbs have a warming effect, ginger as well, and can be very soothing during the transition from summer to fall and then fall into winter.
Now, in Lead Us to a Place, Your Spiritual Journey Through Life's Seasons, you talk a lot about the connection between self-knowledge and our spiritual paths. What is that connection?
Well, I have found that the more that we actually know about ourselves brings us closer to our own spiritual path or spiritual learning. Learning about who we are as a person, our likes or dislikes, how we react to things, how we handle situations, help us to be more conscious. They help us to be more aware of our situation and how we actually interact with other people.
Let's talk about someone who comes from a place of anger. How do you address that?
Anger is a situation that sets us off balance, and a lot of times it's because we're giving away our power with anger. So we tend to need to kind of pull back and meditate or ground ourselves. There's actually two types of anger. Actually, there's the person that holds the anger and internalizes it, and the other that actually lets it out, explosive anger. So each situation is dealt with a little differently, but it's about looking at how we're giving away our power instead of keeping it where it should be, keeping it in check.
And what about people who come from a basis of fear?
Well, fear, everybody has fear, and fear is a situation that is not centered, not grounded. When we're fearful, we start to worry about things. We get anxious about things. And fear is the unknown. Fear is about not knowing or anticipating what's coming at us. So the more that we're grounded, the more that we feel secure, the more that we feel protected, we tend to feel less fearful.
How do you recommend to your students that they develop their self-knowledge and identify what's going on inside of them?
I think it's always important to start with your intention. What is your intention? How are you? What do you want to work on in that moment? I tell students that it's really about going step by step. It's a journey. It's not a race, but they can start with something that, say, is bothering them. Maybe they're upset about something, or they want to stimulate their creativity, or they want to be more aware of who they are. So meditation is a great way to do this. For me, I worked a lot with crystals and essential oils because they were so related to herbs. And the scents really helped me to kind of get more in tune with myself through these tools that I recommend.
Do you recommend journaling during this process?
I think journaling is a very cathartic process that helps you to get everything out on paper in front of you, and then it's something that you can always go back and look at how you felt that day or how you felt in that moment or during a particular situation that you can actually learn from once you go back to that journal and read it.
Can you give us an example of some of the crystals that you work with?
Yes. I love working with a lot of the seven colored crystals. So red jasper is one of my favorite because it's very grounding. I love working with carnelian because it's that deep orange that works with the sacral spleen chakra. I love working with citrine because that bright yellow is a wonderful color for the solar plexus. I tend to use rose quartz or aventurine for the heart, and iolite or demeterite for the throat, which is a beautiful indigo color. Also, I love working with, for the third eye, I love using either dark amethyst or a great violet stone, such as, I think iolite is probably one of my favorites. It speaks to me the most. And then for the crown, I like to use something clear, either clear quartz or petalite, one of these stones. They all seem to call to me.
My guest is Andrew Pahalik. He's the author of Lead Us to a Place, Your Spiritual Journey Through Life Seasons. And we'll be back with more of Andrew after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
What does Meals on Wheels do? They deliver meals and smiles to homebound seniors. But Meals on Wheels does something else. They turn a volunteer's lunch break into a meaningful experience.
As small and as simple as a relationship is between a volunteer and a client of Meals on Wheels, it's really so impactful. I never thought that 5 minutes could make so much difference in the lives of two people, but it has.
Drop off a warm meal and get more than you expect. Volunteer at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. That's AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. Brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone?
Do flowers have best friends?
I don't know.
Hey, look. Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Mm-hmm.
take on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening is Andrew Pahalik. He's the author of Lead Us to a Place, Your Spiritual Journey Through Life's Seasons. Andrew, we touched briefly upon the connection between the seasons and the elements and all of these things combined. You discussed this connection between nature, our bodies, and the seasonal elements. Please give us another couple of examples of what elements are connected with the seasons and how they affect us.
Yes. It's interesting because each season has its own particular element. And for instance, in springtime, spring is also associated with air. For example, utilizing the element of air to lead you to a new place in your life tends to be what we do in spring, going with the flow, accessing different ideas and concepts. This comes your way. This is really what air does, and air is associated with the springtime. Summer, on the other hand, is associated with fire. So fire is that go get it kind of spirit and element that pushes through everything and shows us how we do things in a very fast and furious kind of motion.
And fall?
So the element of fall is probably one of my favorite, and that's earth, probably because I need to be grounded all the time and I tend not to be. So the earth is associated with the late summer season, early fall, and it's associated with the spleen and the stomach in Chinese medicine. And physically, earth is the source and provider of all our needs.
And I know that you say in your book that in the winter, one of the areas of personal growth is coming to terms with the understanding of death. How do you describe that?
Well, it's something that we all have to endure in time and at one point or another. And coming to terms with death is really, it's a realization that brings us to the forefront of a hard reality. But with someone's passing, expectations become evident, and the process of letting go of these expectations is probably one of the hardest lessons that we have to learn.
I think letting go is something that is the hardest lesson for most of us to learn.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Yeah.
How do intention, intuition, and self-awareness bring us closer to our spiritual journey?
Well, so our intention is the path that we put before us. It's the seed we plant. And then using the intuition, which is our absolute ability to sense or know immediately without reason that something is so. These tools help with our self-awareness, as self-awareness is that change that you can perceive or can participate in if your intention is correct. You change the way that you look at something by your intention, and you follow that through with your intuition. So this is how it leads us to a more spiritual awakening or a path.
Now, is there a tool or a technique that people can use to clarify and focus their intention?
Yes. With intention, you're basically, like I'd like to tell my students, is you're setting your ground rule, or you're planting that seed, your reason for doing something. So with your intention in place, you can use the air around you to breathe in and to root you into the ground, or the food to help you grow, which would be your thoughts and how you choose to nourish that seed with those thoughts. And then the water element to this is your ability to flow and let go of that after you you have set that intention, and then you let it go to magnetize it to your purpose, to bring it back to you.
How important is visualization of the goal to intention?
Visualization is important because it helps you to realize that intention. It gives you the picture to move forward or a goal to move towards.
And do you also recommend, we talked about journaling before, of creating some type of a list or some type of a written focal point for developing intention?
Yes, I like to do a journal page every day. So with the start of the morning, I will set my intention in my journal and I will kind of map out what my day will be. And this really does help.
You discuss incorporating our sixth sense or intuition for deepening our spiritual practice. How may we learn to develop our sixth sense?
Well, there's three types of processes that you can actually go to. And one is the sensing or the sensory perception around you, getting in touch with that perception, that intention, and then working on how you perceive things that come into you, to take them in without judging them. And that third process is actually your illumination or your understanding of what your intuition is trying to tell you. It is a process that you have to work on. It's something that doesn't come naturally, especially as we age. We tend to let other things in to our mind, which confuses that intuition. So being true to that is very important.
You had mentioned earlier that as children, we are much more in tune and trusting of our intuition, and as we age and become adults, less so. How do we learn to trust our feelings, to trust our intuition?
By focusing, by trying to actually tune out all that noise and listen. Listen to what your heart or your body is telling you. Sometimes we get physical sensations or we get a sense in our heart of knowing. So listening, just listening to that without the external noise around us is really important key to listening and following your intuition.
I think for many in our digital age, listening has become a lost art. How do we learn to listen again?
You actually need to focus on when someone's speaking to you, that your intention or your process is there with them in the present moment, in the now. It's so important. Sometimes I notice I'll be talking to patients and their thought is on what they're going to cook for dinner or how they're going to get home or if the trains are running. So being in the present moment is really an important key to that.
Now, our seasonal food choices are very important in this practice. Mm-hmm. How do we adjust our seasonal diet for optimal health and well-being?
Well, each season has their own set of foods that can be very helpful in the process. In the summer months, we tend to, or we should be eating more foods that are cooling and cooler. And in the winter months, obviously foods that warm the internal body and are more nourishing. Spring and fall have foods that are more on that temperate side that help with that transition.
And what about eating things that are grown locally in our communities and our areas?
I think it's very important. I think it's important not only just to help those farmers and industries that grow locally to support them, but our bodies are in tune to the local areas from whence we buy food. I noticed that a lot of allergies tend to come up when people are not necessarily eating local foods, they're eating foods that are from other areas or other parts of the world. And a lot of times our bodies are not used to those particular types of food. So they can cause different issues with different people.
Ultimately, how may we create a more purposeful life, and where will that lead us?
I think creating a purposeful life is our goal every day, to find the purpose, the reason that we're here, what gives us the passion to get up in the morning every day and do something that we absolutely love. This is our purpose that will actually open all doors, because you're doing it with such love and such passion that a lot of times it won't even seem like work if you're following your purpose.
Absolutely. My guest, Andrew Pahalik, the author of Lead Us to a Place, Your Spiritual Journey Through Life's Seasons. Andrew, please tell our listeners one more time where they can find out about your book, your work, and all that you do.
Sure. They can find the book at Amazon.com or any retailers such as Barnes & Noble. And they can always come to peacefulmind.com and they can find some of our courses or some of our 600 products and enjoy the articles and information that we have to share there.
Andrew, thank you so much for joining us, and may this season and all seasons be blessed for you.
Thank you, and to you, Victor.
And thank you. And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.